We are pleased to have our brother Alex Mundy as our speaker. He has entitled his exhortation, "Be Not Troubled." Brother Alex.
Thank you, Brother Wright. Good evening, everyone. Happy and certainly blessed to see everyone back this evening. And echoing Brother Bobby's words earlier, the Conway Christadelphian Ecclesia sends its love, and those unable to attend the gathering here in Orlando most certainly would rather be here. Everyone hear me okay? Well, it's no secret to a believer of the truth that we are indeed living in the last days before our Master's return. All one has to do, and especially most recently, is simply look around or read or maybe watch any of the many news outlets. Tragedy is sensationalized. Fear and misunderstanding is mongered. Self-preservation and self-centeredness are merited, and morals are simply things of the past. Respectability is measured by the amount of material things one possesses rather than the example they are setting. So, the question we should all ask ourselves as believers is, how do we administer our lives in relationship or in correlation to a world so inconceivably corrupted and, let's face it, we have no choice but to exist in? How do we manifest godliness to the unbelievers? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. That's Romans chapter 12, and I would like to read verses 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Definitely not easy things to accomplish, to count it all joy, because faith in these difficult times worketh patience, as James states. In fact, Peter wrote, rejoice being partakers of Christ's sufferings, so that when his glory is revealed, you also be glad with exceeding joy. We are to be glad when persecuted for Christ's sake. Count it all joy. Be not troubled. But persecution is quite different in each situation a believer faces. I equate it to whatever is making it difficult to manifest godliness as we are commanded to do. And we all can think of a time when we became most discouraged, whether that stemmed from stress a particular situation, or maybe a sickness. There's certainly no shortage of things to make a believer's life incredibly difficult and saturated with problem after problem, nearly to the last straw, so to speak. It seems to become more than a circumstance of being patient in tribulation, but a danger of losing the hope that lies within us rather than rejoicing in it. Earlier in Romans chapter 12, at verse number 12, it's interesting what the diaglot has it rendered as "in the hope rejoicing." Well, the question is, in the hope of what? Well, living a life consistent with our Lord and Master in the hope of Israel, following in His steps, and following in His path, in that straight and narrow path, as we've mentioned, is not easy. Again, Peter writes, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." And I think it is important to point out that Christ didn't leave us an example of suffering, but how to deal with it or manage it as He would have us. The joy before Christ was the joy in that hope of Israel, the hope of that eternal kingdom that has been prophesied throughout Scripture should be all believers' hope and joy. So then we should demand and truly understand, what is it to be patient in tribulation? Well, patience, or being patient, is defined as a state of endurance under difficult circumstances. Fortitude, in other words, signifying to stay under or remain. Basically, it is a measurable level of the forbearance of trouble before getting angry or acting out in opposition to said trouble. But it's also a character trait of being steadfast. So what's the summation? Never give up, plain and simple. Don't get to the opposing position of being overwhelmed. And as perhaps a lot of you guys are thinking right now, well, that's much easier said than done. Indeed. Again, as we mentioned earlier, not easy. In the short time that I've been in the truth, I've discovered that by coming to terms with what is gained out of the necessary nature, the necessity of trials and tribulations, our entire character is built. And only then do we learn how valuable the truth really is. There's definitely nothing we can go through that compares to the things Christ suffered. And did he succumb to that struggle? No, not once. Not once despite fierce tribulation. I'd like to read an excerpt from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but from the Complete Jewish Bible. If you'd like to try to follow along, you don't have to. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in the Complete Jewish Bible, Paul exhorts, "God has shown us such mercy that we do not lose courage as we do the work He has given us. Indeed, we refuse to make use of shameful, underhanded methods, employing deception or distorting God's message. On the contrary, by making very clear what the truth is, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." Again, one more part in that I'd like to repeat. By making very clear what the truth is, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Encouragement comes from the scripture. Be not troubled. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. That's Romans chapter 5, and I would like to read verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Once again, we can really see how patience builds our character, especially when we are experiencing tribulation and difficult circumstances. James admonishes us in chapter 5, in verses 7 through 8. And if you'd like to turn there, that's James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. James writes, Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And once again, it builds our character. It builds perseverance, and it builds endurance. It ultimately perfects our character as to how we deal with our problems and our circumstances. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 7 and 8. To whom by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Let's also go over a couple of verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is tough for all of us to endure, but certainly has a much greater overall purpose. That's Hebrews chapter 12, and I'd like to start at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? This is a tough concept indeed, but it should and will comfort our hearts, knowing that God is trying to work within us. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verses 11 and 12, it's a few chapters back there, chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Knowing this, brothers and sisters, be not troubled. And you don't have to turn there, but over in James chapter 5, in verses 10 and 11, James 5, verses 10 and 11, it says, Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And also back to the basics, as it says in Romans 15, 4 and 5, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Now let's read how Peter continued from 2 Peter 1. In 2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 7. 2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 7. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Now, there is an application to this. Sometimes when we go astray, we don't know the direction to go, we have to resort back to basics. And patience does pay off. It does add up to something. What is the ultimate outcome? What is our ultimate outcome or recompense, if you will? What is the result of those living unto godliness, those of tender mercy, instant in prayer? Well, I think the answer is in Matthew 24 and verse 13. And perhaps that might be a memory verse. Matthew 24, verse 13 says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'll say that again. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What a comforting thought to help us escape that feeling of being overwhelmed in a world in such opposition to the truth. Be not troubled. Early in my introduction to the truth, I remember hearing for the first time that Yahweh always answers the prayers of the righteous, but sometimes the answer is no. And as you can imagine, this resonated with me greatly. And as I grew in the truth, I came to an understanding that my ideal answer to prayer is simply incomparable to an omnipotent, omniscient creator of all things. Impatience will cause us to become doubtful and ultimately negative. But we should always remember that it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ultimately, our supposed ideal outcome may not have anything to do with his good pleasure. And I think that we all agree that our ideal outcome is not the definition of God manifestation. But James admonishes us in chapter 5, in verses 7 and 8. Again, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman wait for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Many times we experience ridicule, derision, scorn, mockery. With our fleshly nature, it's very easy to fall victim to a nagging, negative influence to which it makes your blood boil, and your knee-jerk reaction or your knee-jerk response is to lash out in anger or to succumb to the depression of being overwhelmed by that world in opposition. The key really is constant meditation in the Spirit Word and prayer without ceasing. There's a verse that I read more often than any other that was once fully explained to me by someone very beautiful and very special in the truth. I revisit it more often than any other because of the negativity of this world we live in. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. That's Romans chapter 8, and I would like to read verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do these verses mean? It is very, very simple. You are the only one that can separate yourself from the love of God. Nothing else is able to accomplish that. Therefore, be not troubled. I'd like to close with some more encouraging verses from the Word. David writes in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Job writes in chapter 5, "To set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety." And John records Christ in chapter 16, stating, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Be not troubled, brothers and sisters, as you follow in our Master's footsteps and perfect manifestation of our Heavenly Father. The reward of the kingdom on earth is a sure promise from Yahweh for those who diligently seek Him. Thank you very much for your attention this evening.